From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Later in the program, a geologist investigates a unique East Tennessee cave. But first, we go to Merivale College, where two of the picnic tables near the student dining hall probably look a little different than you would expect. They've been outfitted with umbrella-like shades that contain solar panels. And as Matt Schaefer-Powell reports, students are getting a lot more out of that solar energy than just a little juice for their electronic devices.
It's called a picnic table, and sure, you could have a picnic here, but this is not your typical picnic table.
What you're looking at the top of the actual picnic table is three 45-watt polycrystalline silicone panels, and we have one 100-watt panel.
Merivale College's Adrienne Schwarty is describing the three solar panels that line the top of the umbrella. You know, the umbrella that sticks out of the center of the table and provides shade and shelter. This umbrella also provides electrical power to a series of outlets below. So, yeah. You want to have a picnic? Bring the sandwiches. Bring the laptop. Hey, bring the automatic ice cream machine.
During our Earth Week in April here at the campus, I actually bring a couple ice cream machines. We actually make homemade ice cream through the panels.
Just about anything you can plug into a wall can be plugged into the picnic table outlets. There are LED lights on timers so students can study outside at night. Each table has a battery pack to keep the power coming during cloudy days. The seats and table surface are made from recycled milk jugs. And there's a visible control panel so curious students can monitor the production of electricity.
You could actually come out here and then, you know, measure it each day if you wanted to and put together a research study so you could figure out, you know, exactly what the production in kilowatt hours of our particular panel has been over a course of 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, or something like that.
As an associate professor who teaches both design and environmental sustainability at Merivale College, there's a lot here for Schwarty to love. In fact, she's the one responsible for bringing the tables to campus 3 years ago. But she'll also admit none of the sustainability stuff matters if the students don't use the tables. Turns out, they do. In fact, sophomore Hannah Kirby says it can be hard to find space at one.
Yes, definitely. I ran into that problem yesterday, as a matter of fact. I came out here to try and find a seat, and it was all filled up out here.
Kirby says the tables allow her and her fellow students to take their homework outside, a particularly attractive option this time of year.
For most of my homework in my classes, I can't work without my laptop. And like many students here on campus, my laptop battery sustainability isn't that great. So having a place where we can go outside and be able to charge our laptops and work for more than 30, 45 minutes at a time is really, really nice, really convenient.
Adrienne Schwarty says there's one more benefit that nobody really anticipated. The tables bring students together. Students who may not always have a reason to share the same physical space.
In fact, one of the things that we hope to do is do some studies particularly related to sort of human behavior and social behavior associated with them. But one of the things that we've found anecdotally already is that a lot of students, for example, from different student populations are starting to come together like at the solar picnic tables, which didn't happen before.
When Merivale College bought the tables 3 years ago, it was one of the first campuses in the state to have them. Now you can find them at colleges all over Tennessee, including Tennessee Tech, ETSU, and Pellissippi State. For The Method, I'm Matt Schaefer-Powell.
Reportedly, Tennessee has more caves than any other state in the Union. The count stands around 10,000, and those are just the ones we know about. But there's one cave in northwestern Knox County that stands out from that crowd. Cherokee Caverns contains some remarkable crystals of a mineral called aragonite, not often found in cave environments. Geologist Kathleen Affolter and chemist Gary Pennycuff of Pellissippi State Community College just received a grant to study the crystals of Cherokee Caverns, and Affolter stopped by to explain what they plan to do.
Now we're focusing on one particular part of the cave that has aragonite attached to some orangish-yellow clay, which is attached to dolomite bedrock. So the dolomite bedrock was there, and then there's this clay crust, and then the aragonite crystals are coming out of that crust. We're going to look at the material with a scanning electron microscope, do some X-ray diffraction of the minerals, which helps you identify the material.
Once you do the research, what do you hope to learn? What are some of the big questions you'd like to answer by studying these crystals within Cherokee Caverns?
Cherokee Caverns has been studied in the past. It was studied probably in 1975 or so. They did the structure. They looked at the rocks and determined how the rocks were tilted and how the sediments got into the cave and that sort of thing. But no one has done the mineralogy of it. And so I think by doing the mineralogy and looking at it with a scanning electron microscope, we've also have an idea that there might be bacteria in the cave, and that opens up a whole new realm of study, to be able to study the bacteria, to be able to study the minerals. So we want to know what's going on in that cave.
Learning about what the cave is doing now can give us an impression or a baseline to study how it may change over the coming decades or years.
Yes, and it's also interesting because this particular cave was open to the public for a long time, and now it's gated. Even so, there are people that go through, the cave caretaker opens up the cave like 3 times a year or so for the public, and that's great. And I think it'd be interesting to see how this cave has reacted to all of this attention compared to other caves in Tennessee that may be more isolated.
I also understand that one of your goals is to get your students interested in pursuing careers in earth science, in minerals and rocks and the study of the earth. Tell me more about some of those goals.
Definitely. I think that the more students get to go outside and actually see the rocks and get involved by doing some hands-on work, the more likely they are to get interested in what you're doing.
And it was more than just getting a classroom lecture. It was
exactly
being out in the environment itself.
Exactly. And the other part that's kind of interesting is that some of the people live very close to that cave, and they don't even know it's there. So for them, it's exciting to see what's underground.
Kathleen Affolter is an associate professor of natural and behavioral sciences at Pellissippi State Community College. She specializes in geology and the study of minerals. Dr. Affolter, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Here's one more thing to think about. Chemically, dolomite, or dolostone that you've been hearing us talk about, is made of calcium, carbon, and magnesium. But the aragonite crystals that are growing out of the cave walls contain no magnesium. Where did it go? Well, Dr. Affolter tells me that's one of the questions that she hopes to answer, but for now, no one knows. Thanks for listening to this edition of The Method. Don't forget you can download all of our past episodes on iTunes. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.